This is Lawrence Tuning, and these are my 88 friends.
Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. I will sing you a song that will help me along. They're my one man band. I'm the number one fan. Me and my 88. Me and my 88.
Welcome to episode 52 of Me and My 88 Friends. This is Lawrence Tuning, your host. We're at the 1 year mark now. It's hard to believe we've done this many episodes. This show started indirectly through the pandemic. When the pandemic started, I had 10 or 15 concerts canceled, and there was not a lot of activity going on. And my friend Leslie Simstrott asked me to do a Facebook Live mini concert with some of the early songs that I'd written. And we started doing that, and there was a really good response to that. And my friend Gary Wright from World Renewal started watching those, and it wasn't too long after that that Gary asked me if I would like to do this show. And he gave me some good advice. He said, don't let perfection keep you from starting it. So we jumped right in, and it's been a learning process. Before I go any further, I want to just thank God for the team. He just put around me right as we began to start. First of all, Lamb's Chapel Christian Center allowed me to use their sanctuary to do the taping, and they graciously allowed their staff member, Buddy Miles, who leads worship here, to help me do this every week. Buddy's been a great help. Also, my band, we were practicing together to do a 50-year anniversary concert, and that never happened. But in the meantime, God knit us together, and they've helped me record a lot of songs for this show. And I don't want to forget Julie Carroll, who is my media manager, and she helps promote things on Facebook and other outlets. And I do want to thank my wonderful wife, because she and I pray about this show every day. So enough of the thank yous. We thank God. So let's jump in. I want to start out with a song that the band and I did called Ebenezer.
Last night I closed my eyes and viewed an awesome scene. I saw a holy place from bygone days, and I asked, what could this mean? There was a stone on the ground and words were written down. I strained my eyes to see, and it said, Ebenezer, for the Lord has helped me. Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped me. Time after time it seems I learn the same thing over. My back is to the wall, and it seems like all is about to cave in. Then I cry out in despair, and he is there just like so many times before. And my soul cried, Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped. One thing I ask, I long to return to lessons learned along the ancient path. Somebody ask, where are you going? Tell me why
so fast. I said I've gotta get back to the place of faith. It's the only thing that's ever gonna last. Last night I closed my eyes and saw a holy place. There was a stone on the ground, and I could hear a sound coming from heavenly space. It said the stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. And my soul cried, Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped.
That is a song of remembrance, Ebenezer. I want to read you a verse in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, out of the New Living Translation. Samuel then took a large stone and placed it between the towns of Mizpah and Jeshana. He named it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help. For he said, up to this point, the Lord has helped us. The other translations say, thus far the Lord has helped us. They did something important back in the Old Testament days. At significant events in their life, they would build an altar so that in future years, they and their descendants could be reminded of what God did in their lives at key moments. I'm titling this episode, My Personal Ebenezer. If I were to go through my life and build altars at key pivotal moments where God intervened or where God broke through with a new direction, I would probably have to start on a little country road in Lee County, South Carolina. Many of you know that I grew up the son of a cotton farmer. And about a couple of miles from my parents' house and their farm is a church on top of a hill that my great-grandfather founded. He was named Lawrence Tuning, of all things. And he was a traveling preacher, and he settled in that area of South Carolina, started this church. I don't know a lot about him, but I do know that he prayed for his posterity. That's the one thing that he passed down to the family. He would pray for all of his descendants who would come after he died, that they would all come to know the Lord. And so I give great honor to him for doing that. And it's a joy to be his namesake and to also be preaching and doing the same things he did. Right there at that church or where my parents are buried, it's also the church where I knelt at an altar as an eight-year-old kid and asked Jesus to come into my heart. I never looked back after that moment. My mother had had five miscarriages before me, and her doctor had advised her, and he had consulted with other doctors. Their unanimous advice when she became pregnant with me was that for her emotional health, that she should not try to keep the baby, just that she should just go about her normal a business and just not do any heroics because she had already lost five. She refused to do that. She got in. She became bedfast for probably about 6 months. And one night when my dad and sisters were at church up the road, she felt like she was starting to miscarry again. She got out of the bed, got on her knees, and she told the Lord in prayer, "If you will let me have this baby, I dedicate this baby to you and your service. Even before the baby's born, this baby's dedicated to you." Well, the process stopped. She had me premature, but every time I sing, every time I preach, I think of my mother and that decision she made to try to fight for my life. So I would put an altar right there at the St. Andrew Church of God in Red Hill, South Carolina. And I wrote a song about that wonderful night when I came to Christ at that spot. It's called "The Night That Changed My Life."
No, I never wrote down the days, but I can take you to the spot where the Lord reached down from heaven and He came into my heart. I believe it was early summer. I was still a child when I heard Jesus call me, and I walked down the aisle. My mother knelt beside me. Oh, I remember it to this day. You know, she put her arm around me and she began to pray. Then my tears started falling, for I was praying too. Then she asked, "Do you feel better now?" And I smiled and I said, "I do." Oh, it never made the local paper or the early morning. Just an ordinary meeting of the midweek faithful few. But in heaven the scene was joyous. The angels started to sing. Oh, I believe they did. And the Father and Son, they smiled at the faith of a little child. That was the night that changed my life. Found I was kneeling on holy ground.
changed my life. It was the night that changed my life.
I would probably build another altar of remembrance where I would say, Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped me. Somewhere in Lee County, South Carolina, probably on that same road, Red Hill Road, where I lived and where the church was, I was riding in a car, and I've told this story several times. I was either 19 or 20 years old, and I believe I was visiting my parents from college. And I had this overwhelming desire to express my love for the Lord in music. I knew how to play the piano, but I just had this great desire to write songs. I couldn't do it. I had no natural gift at it. And riding along in my car, I asked the Lord to grant this request if I could be faithful with it. I said, if I can't be faithful, disregard the prayer. But I said, if you would grant me the gift of writing songs, I promise you that every song for the rest of my life will be about you in some way. And that was the prayer. And within about a week, the Lord began to give me my first song. And I tried to be faithful to that. Now, not every song is overtly saying praise the Lord, but every song has woven in something about God and God's word, God's leadership. I've been amazed at the power of songs as I've looked at other people's songs and even at my own. We've gotten letters from all over the world from people who heard a certain line in a song and it was life-changing to them. I want to share a little story here before the next song. Probably about 20 years ago, I got an email from our good friends in Anderson, Indiana, Chuck and Lynn Staley. Lynn shared with me that their adopted son, who I think was about 13 years old, was in a fatal bicycle accident. A car came over a hill and hit the bicycle, and she didn't know about it when it first happened, and she got the news to rush to the Indianapolis hospital. They were already on the way in the ambulance. She just turned the CD player on because she knew there was a Christian CD in there. And it opened up in the middle of the song of Rise, Let Us Be Going. There's a line that says, arise and enter his gates. And that's the line that first came on that CD player when she hit the button. And she said she knew when she heard that in her spirit that at that moment her son was entering into the gates of heaven. And she got there to Indianapolis and found out that he had died in the ambulance. And he's in heaven waiting for her. But she told me in that note, she said, I want to encourage you to keep writing and keep developing your gift because it means a lot when a song comforts a person like that song comforted me. I want to play the first version we ever did of that song. I've recorded it 3 times, but this was the version that she heard in the original version of the song recorded in 1997.
Breaking. sunshine is waking. Rise, let us be going, going. Rise, let us be going, going.
All over the earth, a voice is calling. Into the courts of worship, he's drawing. Arise and enter his gates. Behold your glorious King. Arise, let all and every nation sing. So rise, let us be going, going. Rise, let us be going, going. My heart was glad when they said to me,
calling this episode My Personal Ebenezer. If I were to put altars up like they did in the Old Testament at key moments of my life, there would probably be three in the city of Anderson, Indiana. The first one would be at the South Meridian Church of God on Meridian Street. In my junior year of college, there was a massive spontaneous revival. It was an offshoot of the famous Asbury Revival of 1970. Gary Wright, who has been on this program several times and who was the president of World Renewal, the organization that owns this radio network, came with a team of students from Asbury. They had all witnessed that revival. Gary was actually there on the first day of the Asbury Revival. When they shared their testimonies, the altars were filled in the church. The service went on for several hours, and that launched a massive, great awakening in Anderson, Indiana, that lasted for 50 days. My life was totally changed on the second day of that revival. The thing that changed it was God sort of nailed me to the wall and asked me, would I be willing to do anything he asked? And I did not want to say yes to that prayer, but I knew that I could never be happy in God if I wasn't totally surrendered to him. So I went to that altar and I said, here I am, Lord. Here's my life. Here's my future. whatever you want me to do for the rest of my life, I'll do it. And there was such a wave of peace and joy that came over me, it's actually never left. And from that point on, I have tried to run the race within the boundaries of the will of God. It all started at that altar when the Holy Spirit was poured out. I want to sing one of my most requested songs now, Holy Fire. At the close of that great series of meetings, what was called the Anderson Revival of Love, several guys, including myself, felt we should form a group and begin traveling all over the country on faith and just walking in whatever doors were open, telling people the good news about Jesus. We called ourselves the Fishermen, and that group evolved from a witness team just doing songs in between talking to an actual music group. And I wrote this song about our early days traveling all over the country on a wing and a prayer. This song is called Trying to Obey the Call. Town to town on a wing and a prayer. Didn't make much money, but we didn't care. It was
Jesus, trying to obey the call. Nixon in the White House, hippies in the streets. Some people call us the Jesus freaks, and I have to admit we were caught up in it all. Songs got better and our hair grew long, and the Jesus movement kept coming on strong. And all the while we were trying to obey the law. We would ride into town in the afternoon, set up the equipment and get in tune. Then we'd gather in a circle and pray for the fire to fall. Pray to Jesus, help us tonight as we sing these songs with all our might. Many years ago, and they still don't play me on the radio, and the crowds I draw run medium or small. But I got no regrets for the life I chose. I'm a happy man and I hope it shows. Been a great ride trying to obey the call. It's a good life.
During this time that the fisherman was traveling all over the country, I began seeking God for a mate, for a godly wife. And I just prayed about it all the time. It just seemed like it never went away. And there came a moment when I walked down to the abandoned football field of Anderson University. Our house was right down the street from there. Nobody was around. It was late at night. And I surrendered that prayer to God. I remember I looked up at the sky and I said, Lord, I'm not going to ask you this prayer anymore. You've heard my prayers. I've prayed about it for many years. I'm relinquishing this to you. If it is not your will for me to be married, I will embrace that. I will do your will. I'm not going to ask you anymore. You know that I want to have a wonderful wife, and I give that to you. And there was a real release there. And it just wasn't but a few more months that I met my great wife of 46 years. She and I have been together since 1975. And so if I were going to build an altar of thanksgiving and altar of remembrance of God's intervention, that was a holy moment for me when I surrendered that to the Lord and told him, I will do whatever you want, whether you answer this prayer or not. So I wrote this song to my wife on our 40th anniversary, and I want to play this now. It's called Love Song Just For You. Thank you.
When I first knew that I loved you, at a time when we were young, I would often sit and ponder what our future might become. Looking back, I'm filled with wonder and a sense of gratitude. So allow me now to render a love song just for you. Sometimes my memories take me to a moment etched in time. You turned and kissed your father, then he placed your hand in mine. I had joy beyond measure when I took you for my wife. I knew I'd found a treasure to cherish all. Just for you.
Back in the Indiana days, we lived on Fifth Street, and I began spending an hour a day in prayer. And the only prayer room we had there at that little house was a little storage room in the back of the house. Was very cold. I think they had a little space heater. And I would go there like 5 o'clock every day and get alone with God. I remember one day, this was in January of 72, there was just a sense of God's presence there. And I just was very still, very quiet. I felt the Lord was getting ready to tell me something very important. And these words just came into my mind. I am sending you to New England. I had only been to New England one time on a vacation when I was 10 years old, but it was very strong. And after praying about it for months, Bud and Carl Simstrott and I embarked on this great adventure to go to New England. That opened up a ministry there for 10 years. We did about 10 tours of New England, and then in 1978, we moved. I moved with a new band and stayed there after the band disbanded a year or two later, and pastored a church, and it was some of the most wonderful years of our lives. That all came from a season in prayer and getting an impression. I wrote a song about New England while I was there. It was a plea for revival because New England had been the scene of many of the early revivals in America. This is off of an old cassette tape that I did in the 90s, but I want to play this now.
Thank you. clouds away. Beg you to stay.
If I were to build an altar of remembrance, I would have to build one in Clinton, Massachusetts, on Park Street, where we lived for many years. During that time of sadness and darkness after we experienced our third miscarriage, I sensed that things were changing. Our church was going through a really hard time, and it led toward me resigning as a pastor and not really knowing what the future held. During that time, I wrote a song which changed my life, called The Anchor Holes. That song went out all over the world. It was rejected at first as a radio song. The company wouldn't put it out. But there came a point after they rejected it where the Holy Spirit dealt with me that I needed to forgive people that I had felt had hurt me. And I felt like I needed to reach out and write some letters, and I kept putting it off and putting it off. And finally, I felt strongly in prayer that I had to do it by a certain date. And so in sheer obedience, I wrote the letters, sent them off, and it was just a few days after that date that the record company changed their mind and said, let's go ahead and put it on the radio after all. And I don't know if my act of obedience had anything to do with it or not, but I really felt it was important that I release forgiveness and bitterness out of my heart. And a few days after that, the decision was made to put it on the radio. And in just about 3 weeks, it went to number one. And it stayed at number one for 3 weeks. It has gone all over the world. I want to play it now. My hands.
right through. Like they were only grains of sand. Now I have been young, I am older now. There has been beauty these eyes have seen. Is better. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. I have fallen down on my knees. I have faced the raging seas. The anchor holds.
After the release of The Anchor Holds, we moved to South Carolina and made the decision to concentrate the ministry part on songwriting and doing concerts and speaking at various places. I also was a social worker during all this time. It's been a great life. The most important thing is to do the will of God and to lean upon him. But I can truly say, thus far, the Lord has helped me. I want to close with a song called Living in the Shadow. I hope you'll listen closely to the words of this song. It's the way I feel about life. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.
I have chosen to abandon the ambitions of the past in pursuit of things that quickly fade. I have traded them all for a peaceful path in the shadow of the glory of the Lord. Things that used to matter have somehow lost their charm when compared to what shall be revealed. Now we see a shadow, a faint silhouette. One day all our hopes will be fulfilled. That used to matter have somehow lost their charm when compared to what shall be revealed. Now we see a shadow, just a faint silhouette. One day all our hopes will be fulfilled. Shadow of the glory of the Lord, looking forward to what is yet to come. But for now, I have found a peaceful path in the shadow of the glory of the Lord. In the shadow of